Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Ryder Lee. Before I bring him on, I have to remind you to subscribe to Forbidden Knowledge News on lbry.tv, our backup channel. We are available on all popular podcast platforms, and definitely check us out on Rockfin, where you can get all our premium content. You can get Forbidden Knowledge News Con this year. You can get last year's Forbidden Knowledge News Con. All of our regular shows, and all of the premium content from all the content creators on Rockfin. It's an amazing platform. Just click the link in the description or visit rockfin.com/FKN+ to sign up today. You can get a free account and check out everything that Rockfin has to offer before you get a premium account. And trust me, they have so much awesome content on there. You're going to want that premium account. And finally, if you are getting to that gray hair stage in your life, you're ready to take control of your health, check out C60 Purple Power. C60 may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man with free radical neutralizing properties. I feel great. You really should too. You can even get C60 for your pets. Check out their website by clicking the link in the description and take back control of your health today. Tonight, I want to welcome back to the show Ryder Lee. He is a true seeker, knowledge guardian, and spiritual educator. He uses his real-world experiences to educate and elevate others to awaken, question their reality, and expand their consciousness. Check out his YouTube channel, Raised by Giants, where he interviews others from all backgrounds about their spiritual awakening to bring people different perspectives of what's going on in the world on an individual and collective level. Sharing insight, knowledge, wisdom, and awareness from personal experiences. Ryder, welcome back. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks so much for having me back on your show. I really appreciate it. How are you?
Oh, of course, man. Ever since you've been on the first time, we hit it off. We've been talking through messages a lot, and you're an awesome guy. And last time you were on, we talked a bit about your own personal journey and how being on a certain side of our current dystopian existence, you're essentially engaged in a form of spiritual warfare, whether you realize it or not, especially if you're someone that speaks out and takes some kind of action or just doesn't participate in the destruction of our societies. And tonight you have a presentation that very much looking forward to. It's going to kind of break down on a deeper level, on a more metaphysical level, what's happening around us, if I understand correctly. To start out, why don't you give us a brief kind of synopsis of the presentation?
Yes, of course. So before we get started, I just wanted to, give a little context for, what the presentation is about, just like you stated. So I had Wayne Steiger on my show around 2 months ago. We had a really great conversation about...
Wayne was my second guest ever.
He's amazing. I love him so much. I was actually supposed to be on his show last week, but it didn't turn out. Wasn't able to make it, but we should be able to get it sometime this week. But we had a great conversation about the occult and, religion and religious indoctrination and religious dogma and all that. But when it was over, when I stood up, I felt, super lightheaded, which I thought was odd because I don't normally ever feel that way. I'm either getting super old or it's, something else is going on. So I went in, laid down in my bedroom and kind of meditated and did some breath work for a bit and kind of, ask the spirits, the guardian angels or whoever wanted to try and come through come through. And nothing really happened until later that night, really, when I received this information through what I can only explain as a download or epiphany, a knowing maybe, but I received an answer to a question that I didn't really know that I had, and the rest kind of unfolded from there.
Awesome. So, I'm looking forward to it. Whenever you're ready, if you want to go ahead and share your screen, I know you have a PowerPoint to share with us.
Awesome. Yes. The presentation has some pictures, but mostly I'm going to be kind of reading, so you guys can, whoever's watching can listen or watch whatever is best for you. But I suggest you listen very closely. You know, I'm putting out the intention for everyone that watches and listens to this that they remember, right? That this triggers some kind of memories for everyone. That's the reason I think I was given this information to begin with. And you never know, you might be able to have your own kind of download experience while listening. So please listen, watch however you choose with an open mind and a loving heart and follow along closely and use your own discernment, please. And any questions you have, you know, write them in the comments and I'll try and respond to them as best of my ability. And of course, Chris, if you have any questions throughout, please don't hesitate to ask, you know, if you want more clarification on something. You know, it's about 20 to 30 minutes long, and it gets kind of advanced, some things in there, so you might kind of have to put a few things together on your own, but I do my best to explain everything though. But
now, when you were getting your download about this information, did it come in like a kind of just a waft of information all of a sudden, and you had to kind of break it down over time, or did it come kind of slowly to where you could understand it?
I think that it came a lot of information at one time, and then I was able to slowly disseminate that information and slowly roll it out. I've been working on this for around a month now, and I kind of had to just put it aside because it was just getting it's starting to get a little overwhelming, and I could have gone forever with it. You know, this thing could be possibly, you know, 2 hour long presentation, but I wanted to just kind of cut it off short to try and get my point across and let people know the information that I received.
All right. Sweet.
Okay.
So whenever you're ready.
Awesome. Here we go. Okay. So this is kind of the question that kind of kicked all of this off for me. You know, what would happen if you all of a sudden knew all of the information in the universe all at once as the physical being you're currently inhabiting, right? So welcome to exiting the simulation, returning to source. So I'm going to start this off by using some references from the Bible to explain what's going on. So just so we're all on the same page. So we all know the story of Adam and Eve. They ate the apple in the garden that God forbid them to eat, the knowledge of you know, good and evil, so the Bible calls it. And Genesis 3:3 says, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. So we know that the forbidden tree is just awareness and knowledge, but awareness and knowledge of what? It was kind of just made out in the Bible that Adam and Eve just realized that they were naked, so they clothed themselves, and that was the introduction of sin, and they were kicked out of the garden because they were corrupted, and that's really the end of it. And we know sin was invented by the church as a means of control, but what if there's a lot more to the story? And what if the apple isn't an apple at all? It's an actual place, and this place holds all of the knowledge of the universe. So we know the Bible is mostly metaphorical and isn't meant to be taken literally, though that doesn't mean there isn't clues to actual real stories hidden in there. You just have to be able to read between the lines, which is exactly what I think is going on with the Adam and Eve story, with the knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But first, let's look at some other familiar stories in the Bible that are similar in nature, like the story of Saul. In Acts 9:8-9 says, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. So the story of Saul is saying that God or Jesus blinded him, meaning that if we as much even look at God, we will be blinded. For what though and how? Which kind of brings us to our next story, which is a story of Moses. In Exodus 33:20 says, but he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Of course, this verse comes when Moses was on top of Mount Sinai, getting ready to receive the Ten Commandments. So either God is really shy and has social issues, and if people dare to look at him, they go blind or die. But what I think is more plausible is that this isn't God at all in these stories. It's something else. And here's a very popular story because it involves a very important and historic relic, which is the Ark of the Covenant. In 1 Samuel 6:19, it says, but God struck down some of the men of Beth Shemesh, putting 70 of them to death because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. The people mourned because of the heavy blow the Lord had dealt them. So we have all these people in the Bible going blind from just seeing the light of God, and in the verse saying no one can even look at God without going blind or dying. And we have the story of the ark where God killed many people for just looking inside or touching it. I think this God that is making people go blind and killing them if they look directly at him isn't God at all. It's the source itself. So to get a better idea of what's going on, we kind of have to go back to ancient history and the Anunnaki gods. So we know the Bible was written based on the ancient Sumerian cuneiform tablets, and the Sumerian gods had a very similar story to Adam and Eve, or they seemed to run parallel to each other. See, these Sumerian gods were genetically engineered just like us, though they were the perfect human hybrids that surpassed even their creator in all ways. See, Enki, the Sumerian god, thought he was so powerful, strong, and knew everything that he could go to this liminal place that humans, gods, or hybrids were forbidden to go, an off-limits zone, because you guessed it, if you did, well, you would die. So Enki ventured into this forbidden place, but he ended up surviving. Just like Adam and Eve, when God told them they would die from eating the apple. But when Enki made it back from this off-limits zone, he was corrupted. Sounds familiar, right? Sounds exactly like Adam and Eve. But I think he truly found out what we are, who we are, and what we're living in this knowledge broke him, just like the knowledge of good and evil did. See, I contend this liminal forbidden place that Enki went to was pure source, and our minds aren't meant to handle all of the information in the universe at one time, because that's what I feel source is. It's just information. It's like constantly processing, like the motherboard of a computer. So a human trying to take on all of that information at once would overload us. I mean, Chris, I'm sure you know some people that's took too much acid or ate too many shrooms, right? Or we know someone that knows somebody that didn't quite turn out right after that experience. Like,
right.
Like something kind of fried or burnt them a little in not a good way. Right. So if you can imagine that kind of awareness, doesn't even register on the awareness that source has. So it would start to break and fracture our minds because our brains don't have the processing power required to handle it. And it would short circuit our neural networks because source lives outside of this virtual simulation and is more than likely the source of the simulation itself, hence the name source. See, we can talk about some of these concepts and that we live in a simulation and all, but actually encompassing it and seeing it for yourself would likely change you forever. Imagine being in a place where time and space doesn't exist. You have no reference for anything because there isn't anything. It's just pure white and it's infinite. It's everything but nothing at the exact same time. Just trying to wrap your mind around that would almost break it. I really don't think that we could even begin to process it with the limited capacity that our brains have now, let alone the brain capacity of a god like Enki using 100% of his. But I believe that this event started the uprising of the Anunnaki gods and the ET wars and the eventual quarantine of the planet.
Now, before you go any further, this information about Enki actually trying to, visit this place, this was part of the, I guess you could say, downloaded information that you received?
Yes, it was part of the download that I received. There is no factual evidence about that. I tried to look it up. I tried to do a bunch of research on it. The most that I could find was Robert Stanley wrote an article about this event. And he believes that the event was the introduction of the Archons and in infiltration into our reality, right? So, yeah, it's not a factual type of event that could be actually verified. So, yeah.
Okay, go ahead and continue.
So I'm under the impression that this event was kicked off the genetic wars, and the war had really big ramifications for everyone on Earth. Even the gods, when they were defeated by the creator ETs, they placed a trap over the planet, a planetary quarantine, if you will, to keep these gods contained in a never-ending reincarnation cycle that we are still living in to this day. So we'd be dumbed down through every incarnation. Our memory would be wiped and effectively making it to where we could never rise up again. I'm sure you've heard people talk about, a prison planet and a hell planet. And we've heard people talk about these kinds of concepts. But I think that it's very true, and we are technically our own gods in that sense, like literally. So Earth then became a dumping ground for all kinds of different races of beings, beings that were too difficult to handle and deemed a product of a failed science experiment. This is where I think a lot of problems arise, and why we can't seem to get along is because none of us are indigenous to Earth and our souls have been fractured out, living up to 12 incarnations simultaneously. We don't know who we are, where we're from, or what we're doing here. This in turn creates a lot of problems, and because of this, many of us suffer from depression, abandonment issues, anxiety, and go through our entire lives never knowing why, but always feeling like something is off and missing in the core of our being, an emptiness in our soul, that feeling like something isn't quite right, but we can't exactly put our finger on it. But the good news is, I believe this quarantine reincarnation trap is about to be lifted or has already been lifted, but more on that later. So after being shown that the apple in the garden was just source itself or a fragment of source, and people being blinded and killed by God for just being in the presence of him was also the same thing. And then realizing that Enki was trying to integrate with source and couldn't do it really got me thinking, what would be the ultimate purpose of a machine or AI? Why would we want to fuse with technology? You know, Elon Musk with his Neuralink implants, what is the real reason, you know, besides wanting to live forever and, you know, upload your consciousness to a cloud and all that? I mean, what do robots and AIs do? They process information, right? So this is the Neuralink implant that Elon Musk wants to put in our brains. And here's a few quotes that he's been, that he said about the Neuralink implant. We can save and replay memories. The future is going to be weird. It's kind of like a Fitbit in your skull with tiny wires. But why do people wear a Fitbit? You know, well, it's to give them information, right? So I contend the reason for wanting to merge with technology is processing power. This is why the ETs are so obsessed with technology, and in turn, why we are so obsessed with technology. It's because they know source is all-encompassing, all-knowing, limitless, and infinite, so never ending that no physical being could ever process all of the information and live. So the only way to integrate with it and become the ultimate God is to increase the processing power of the brain. And what's the fastest way to do this? Well, merging with technology. So what if the only way to escape this reality is to integrate with source because it exists outside the simulation, but again, it's too much for anyone to handle without being severely damaged or corrupted like Enki was? This is why I believe the Forbidden Zone was off limits, because no one's been able to do it. So again, what would happen if you all of a sudden knew all of the information in the universe all at once as a physical being you're currently inhabiting? Would you be able to handle it? Let's just say, for argument's sake, you could possibly handle all of the information in the universe at one time and integrate with source. Well, then what? What do you do then when you've become the source of the simulation itself? So this brings us back to the reincarnation cycle that's been placed here on Earth, this false light matrix reality. So you had a dream about this around a year ago, that it's not just a false light. It's actually, a artificial intelligence program capturing and tethering our consciousness to it and distributing it as it sees fit. It was designed to create complete control here and after death, picking and choosing where we go without any repercussions. Imagine being able to decide who comes and who goes. You could effectively know when and where and who is going to be reincarnated at any given moment. But like I mentioned earlier, this reincarnation trap has been here for thousands of years to keep these gods, which is us, that are essentially the perfect physical human beings ever created, from rising up again. So that would mean that everyone that was on the planet at that time has been caught in this trap. Have you ever met someone before and it felt like deep down you knew them, like on a soul level, but you never met them physically before. You just have a strong connection with them. Could be a person you met on the street, could be a person that you listen to on the internet, see on TV, on a commercial, on the news media, whatever it may be, but a familiarity exists between you. Like you know them from somewhere. Well, that's because you do know them. You just don't remember. Meaning that the people that were here back then are still here now, mixed in with all the new souls that's been brought in. This, I feel, is also an explanation for deja vu, because it seems like we remember for a split second, but not really being able to fully process it. It's here 1 second and it's gone the next. I feel that these are glimpses of the past, present, and future coalescing into one specific moment, and we remember. So up until this point, very few brand new souls actually come to the planet because, like I stated earlier, after this quarantine was placed on the planet, this became a dumping ground, not meant for first timers. There's only a few reasons for you to actually be here. You either got stuck here, you got captured and brought here, you're a threat to the system, or you're a clone or cyborg. Yes, clones and cyborgs exist. Though now we're entering into the age of Aquarius, it's time for some of us to escape this reincarnation trap and ascend. Do you have any questions, Chris, before I move into this last and final topic?
I think I'm going to save the questions for the end. I want to see what the final topic you have here.
Awesome. Great. Okay. So that brings us to our last and final topic for tonight, which is ascension. What is ascension? What does ascension even mean? See, there's a lot of confusion and misconceptions about ascension. We have people talking about a physical ascension, that we're going to ascend in our physical bodies into a new Earth 5D frequency, and the Earth is going to split from a 3D Earth to a 5D Earth, and the only ones with the highest of integrity and morality make it to this new Earth, and the rest stay behind in the old 3D Earth, right? It's all very confusing. And I don't think anyone teaching this concept has any idea what they're talking about. And that's not to, speak bad about anybody. It's just that the information that I've received, is very different. And I never really resonated with the concept of a physical ascension. It was just kind of a thing that people were kind of talking about. And I feel like a lot of people just really jumped on the bandwagon, and I'm just kind of like, okay, well, but it doesn't really make any sense. But this physical ascension concept is really mystical and golden age type of stuff, which would be fine if it were true. Though they do have some aspects of it right, I think it's just been misinterpreted. Remember when I stated earlier that the quarantine reincarnation trap has been lifted or is going to be lifted? Well, that's what ascension is. And I hate to burst people's bubbles, but there is no physical ascension. The real and true ascension is an after-death ascension. Think about it. We are the perfect beings, right? We descended from the gods. We are source itself, here to experience its own creation and play the game to remember, with the ultimate goal of integrating back with it. Why would we need an upgrade? We've just been stuck in this reincarnation trap for thousands of years, and we have just forgotten. This is something the dark side has known for a really long time, and they've done everything in their power to stop. What has 2020 basically been all about? It's been about self-quarantine and self-isolation, right? Because they don't want us to ascend. They want us stuck here, quarantined on the planet for another 2,000 years or however long an incarnation cycle lasts, until another new age rolls around and we have the opportunity to escape again. They know that this reincarnation trap has been lifted, and the only way they can keep us here is by self-imposing it upon us and by making us give our consent for it to happen and by making us think it's our idea. That's how all of it works. Whether or not the self-quarantine was voluntary or forced, it doesn't matter. You still consented. But regardless, it's time for us to awaken and remember, busting through and ascending out of this self-imposed darkness that we've been in for a really long time, for thousands of years. That's how they get away with all of the psychological operations, Chris, is making us think that it's our idea under the guise of something everyone can get behind, like public health and safety, right? I think that this gives quarantine a whole other meaning, right? But
yeah, definitely.
But our time is coming. The mission is about to be over, and this is why a lot of people are talking about ascension, is because now is our opportunity to get out of this trap. The message has just been misinterpreted as a physical ascension, when it's not a physical ascension at all. It's a spiritual or astral, if you will. A lot of us are tired, Chris, exhausted. Our souls have been used and abused. It's time for us to go home and rest. Mission accomplished.
Sweet. Yeah, that was a great presentation. Thank you so much for that. Now, you know, earlier, Corey and I were actually discussing some aspects of this. What source is, what God is, if we're a simulation. And we got pretty deep. But basically, I'm wondering, you said source kind of had these direct connections according to biblical texts and other texts, where source was telling these individuals that if you look at me or gaze upon me, you're going to die. Now, that's the part that I have questions about, because for me, my understanding of source is that I don't understand why source would directly communicate with someone in that way. I believe that source is something different than I think it's a part of everything, really. I think source is the universe. Source is everything. And if it is a creation of this simulation, like you said, it's possible that if you gaze upon it, that you die. But the biblical text about the communication and stuff like that, it's always so hard to interpret all of that. But you know, you're saying you got this from a download, so it's from a different source, which makes it very interesting. Now, do you think that source was, you know, communicating with these individuals in the Bible as it said, or do you think it occurred in a different type of way?
It was definitely occurred in a different type of way. I don't think that Source even has the ability to communicate with individuals in that capacity, because I think Source is neither benevolent or malevolent. It's neutral. It's just an observer, right? I don't think, even if it wanted to communicate, I don't think that it could. And if it could, I think that it would completely blow us out of the water. We would just spontaneously combust, right? Because it is literally too much information for any human being to handle, especially thus far. And I think that that's what the Ark of the Covenant actually was just a fragment of Source. And whenever these individuals would come near it or look into it, they would just instantly die. Like, I envision them just being incinerated, just disintegrated right before everyone's eyes. Because as the physical being, as a physical vessel, it's impossible to encompass and any of all of the information of Source all at once, right? So they would just automatically just die.
Now, I want to go back to, you mentioned psychedelics for a minute. Now, I personally think that if anyone here in this existence has experienced a true psychedelic experience and they come out of it and they don't have further questions about their existence, they're probably a non-player character in this simulation. Would you agree?
Oh yes, for sure. And I had Dava Ajit on my show last week, and we basically talked about psychedelics and the good use of psychedelics and the helpfulness and the expansion of consciousness and awareness with the proper use of psychedelics, right? Because like I mentioned in this presentation, some people, they can't handle it. You know, they can't handle the experience. They're carrying too much fear into the experience, which in turn kind of corrupts.
That happens when, you know, people try to use it like, you know, recreationally or something. Mm. That it's, I think it's meant to be a spiritual type of entheogen. That was part of the experience that I had the other night that we'll get into on my show. But it was a sort of download that many entheogens, even alcohol, when used in certain ways properly, can be a spiritual tool. And a lot of these were used as spiritual tools by the ancients. And that's what they were used for. They weren't used, you know, to party or, you know, to get high. They were using to basically enhance their spiritual communication skills, right?
Yes, 100%. And like we talked about in my show last week, it's not for everyone, you know, like some psychedelics, like people can handle and some, you know, people can't. And if you've done too much of them, or if you've never experienced them before, then you have an opportunity that you can't even handle it. And that's just a small fraction of the awareness that Source would have, right? Like the psychedelic experience is just maybe like doesn't even register on the processing and the awareness that the Source would have. We would be tapping into a small fraction of the awareness and consciousness that a source of everything in the galaxy and in the universe has. So if you can't handle doing a little bit of psychedelics, then you definitely would not be able to handle trying to integrate with Source or even coming near Source.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree. Now, I want to go back to the simulation theory for a minute. I was talking, I don't know if you saw my show with Tony Merkel, but he had a very interesting point. I don't think it was him that had the original point, though, but he said that if we are in a simulation, then you think about people that have gone missing, like the missing 411 scenarios where they go missing in state parks. Could it be possible that if this is indeed some kind of grand simulation, that they are just rendered. It's easier for the simulation to render them out rather than render a brand new environment to suit that player. You know what I mean? That's a freaky thought.
Yeah, it is for sure. And we could get so deep. You could basically get fry your brain just trying to think about the simulation theory and all that it encompasses and what that means if we're actually in a simulation. You know, are we real or are we just pawns, or, you know, are we being controlled and manipulated in a certain way? Like, what is the meaning of existence if we're in a simulation, right? But I think that this comes down to a lot of the prison planet type of thing scenario that I was talking about in this presentation, because I feel like that we are on a prison planet, but it's a soul prison. And I think that the reason that a lot of these UFOs and a lot of these interdimensional beings, we can't see them because we are quarantined, right? We're not only quarantined on a soul level, but we're on a planetary quarantine too, meaning that we're the things that we could see, like we're basically invisible to other people, and other people are basically invisible to us, except the controllers, right? Certain individuals and certain beings and certain races can pop in and out because we are on a prison quarantined planet, if that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah, it does. And it also makes me think about the ancient communication, whether it was these beings actually coming down and showing us and tinkering with us and doing all these things, or was it more of a metaphysical or spiritual kind of interaction that we had? You know, even if you go back to psychedelics, maybe some of these ancients, they ate a certain psychedelic and communicated with a certain being that gave them, you know, certain knowledge or, you know, something like that. There's all kinds of different scenarios that you could put to, you know, communication with the gods or extraterrestrials, because it's so hard to decipher whether this communication was physical or spiritual or mental or channeled or what. You know, what do you think?
I think that there were beings that were here in the physical at one time. And like I kind of stated in the presentation, that I think that the Anunnaki, they were real physical beings that were created by a higher intelligence, right? And then the Anunnaki basically rebelled and it started the Galactic War. And a lot of the Anunnaki were defeated and killed on the planet. And then that's when they placed the quarantine on the planet to be able to capture them and keep them tethered to a specific area, right? And so that they could never, you know, rise up. And then their souls were fractured out, living, you know, multiple incarnations. Like, we are basically, what I'm trying to explain is, we are the gods themselves, right? We have been here for thousands of years. Our souls and our very fiber of our being has just been fractured out, living up to multiple, some say 12, some say 19, some say 29 incarnations simultaneously, effectively making it to where we can never be complete, right? So that we can never get out of the reincarnation quarantine trap that's been placed here, right? And they've done that. They did that full well knowing what they would do. But the problem is that the trap has been here for so long that it's almost impossible to disable it, right? Because the people that created it have long been gone. They've disappeared. They're no longer here, right? So it's impossible almost to find the way to disengage this reincarnation planetary quarantine that's been placed on the planet. But I think that since we're entering into a new age, there's an opportunity for some of us that have the awareness to get out and ascend out of here, you know, and go out into the far reaches of the galaxy and explore other areas and incarnate on different planets and be different beings, fully recovering all of our memories and remembering it every single time so that we can grow and expand. It sucks being here on Earth, right? Because we get wiped every single time that we come back, right? Effectively making it to where we can't carry on any of the knowledge. That's what I think a lot of the megaliths and the pyramids and a lot of that stuff is even there for, is to give us a remembrance that we were here before, that we've been here for a really long time.
Now, you think that this this basically dismantling of this trap system that we're in is going to be something that could happen in our lifetime? Because every time I look at something like this, I see it just as a process that we probably won't see in our lifetime. We may see kind of glimpses of it. We may see evolution of it. But I don't know if we're going to see a full ascension or whatever you want to call this in our lifetime. I think that it's going to be a process that we're going to start to see, just like disclosure. I don't think that in the next few years we're going to be talking to aliens, but I think it's a process. I think that, you know, it starts by opening people's eyes to it. And I've spoken with Johnny Enoch a few times about this, and he has a very fascinating theory, and he's, you know, claims it comes from other higher ups as well, that, you know, the source of everything that's happening right now is coming from these creator ETs to evolve us, but it's going to suck. Like, we're going to have to go through some major stuff, make our own decisions, you know, go through whatever kind of transhuman dilemmas that we're going to go through, whatever it's going to be, it's going to suck. And we're going to have to go through this major lengthy process to get to where these ETs want us to be. And I think that's a very interesting kind of theory to look at, that they're kind of guiding this whole thing so we can kind of get to our next level of evolution. What do you think about that?
Yes. And unfortunately, it's going to look a lot like it's not good for humanity, right? It's going to... The new world order is going to happen whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not. Now, it depends on us on an individual and collective level, whether that NWO is a positive NWO or a negative NWO, right? Because they've got us so programmed and socially engineered that there is no going back. At this point, right, that we have to have divine intervention, right? We've screwed up so far that we have to have a galactic federation out there trying to, you know, turn things in favor of us, you know. But unfortunately, that manipulation and that turning is going to look a lot like what we don't want. And that's going to be the issue, and that's going to be the problem, is deciphering the information and unlocking your intuition and knowing what's best for you, you know, on an individual basis, right? Because if you don't have that intuition, you're gonna go crazy, right? You're probably going to get, you know, information overload. We've seen this all the time with information overload. That's one of the biggest tactics that the media uses, is to throw so much information at you all at one time every single day that you can't regurgitate any of it, you know? And they throw the same thing at you all the time to get you programmed into believing something, whether the thing is real or not, you know? Probably just preaching to the choir on that, but...
Well, yeah, but you're right, though. Yeah, definitely. We got a few more minutes left. What do you think about the recent death of the great oligarch here, was it Philip, Prince Philip, they found a massive collection of ufology books in his estate. Did you hear about that?
I saw something on it today. I didn't actually read the article or anything, but I find it interesting that because whenever he first died, I think it was yesterday or the day before, it might have been the day before, but there was a lot of information came out that it was because of the death jab. But I'm sure we'll never know exactly what it was. I mean, but the man was 90 years old, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, about damn time.
It's about time one of these old guard mother effers, you know, kicks the bucket, you know? How long are these freaking Rockefellers and Rothschilds been around? I mean, some of those guys got to be pushing 100. You know, it's about time for them to kick the bucket, you know?
Yeah, but they'll just pop a new head up on where the old head was, you know. Someone else will take his place.
Yeah, but and then did he really kick the bucket? You know,
right? Because
they have consciousness transfer machine. They have soul transfer machine that puts you into a different body and all that. And I think all this connects to my presentation. Really connects to you know, a lot of people, human beings, not wanting to die because they know that they're just going to be recycled back and that their memories are going to be wiped, you know? So that's, I feel, a big reason why they don't want to die and why they want to keep going and live forever. And that's a big reason for a lot of the screwed up things that they've been doing to people and children. I'm not going to mention, you know, specific things on that, but I'm sure people know what I'm talking about. But that's a big reason for it, is not wanting to die, because they know that they're going to come back not remembering anything, being wherever, and not being able to control it, you know. So they want to live for as long as possible to, you know, gather up as much information as possible and essentially, you know, live forever. I think that's what a lot of, you know, it goes back to that old thing, is, you know, the controllers and the elite, you know, I do believe that that's their main goal, is that they want to live forever.
Yeah, I can see that too, definitely. We are definitely in a very critical time in our future. And Ryder, I want to thank you for your work and bringing awareness to people, and for your presentation tonight. That was an excellent presentation. Before you head out, let everyone know where they can find you, you know, social media, your YouTube, all that.
Yes, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel at Raised by Giants. I bring on a guest every once a week to discuss the things that I think that are important and that people find interesting, you know, on a personal level and a collective level, to help bring awareness and expand people's reality and expand their consciousness. And I normally release those videos on Tuesday at 6 p.m. PST. 9 p.m. EST. And if you would like to add me on Facebook, it'll be Ryder Lee. Also on Instagram at Raised by Giants Pod.
Sweet. Oh,
yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay, my mic went off for a second. Thank you so much, Ryder. That was great information, and I'd love to have you back on sometime in our future.
Of course, I would love to come back on and talk about some of the UFO and paranormal experiences that I've had, because I've had a lot of those too. So I appreciate you, Chris. Awesome. I love all of your work. I watch all your videos all the time, and I believe you're going to be on my show next Tuesday. So yes. People, if you want to go over there and subscribe to hear our conversation on my channel, that would be amazing. And thank you guys so much. I appreciate you guys. And please go back and listen to that as many times as possible, because there was a lot of information in there, and I figure if you can really get in there and dissect it, I feel like that more things will be revealed the more times that you listen to it or watch it. Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate your time, and Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Ryder. And until next time, everyone have an excellent evening.